Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome, dear friends, to Dog Poet Transmitting. After a bit of an unfortunate hiatus in which both computers went down and then we went down and then it took 2 weeks for my tech to put together a simple system for me that shouldn't have taken more than a couple of hours. He said he'd never seen anything like it before. Following that and getting it up, I came to find that neither of my professional sound cards would fit into a case designed, as all of them are these days, to no longer accept a particular PCI format. It seems, since I had previously been using a custom case that did accept all kinds of PCI, well, now we're just going to have to limp along until such time as I can manage to get another case and have everything in this computer moved into it. I'm mystified at the amount of seemingly unnecessary expense I'm hit with on a regular basis. Still, since I don't know why, I'll not make presumptions. Maybe I'm supposed to be reduced to nothing or negative balance in order to prove some point beyond my grasp. Won't be the first time. I apologize for the sound of my voice. I have some trouble with my jaw, but hopefully I'm mostly intelligible. In any case, you'll hear this particular recording, though the quality may not be what it was recently. It'll get through somehow. That said, welcome. Welcome to the saucer pod hovering above the jungles and volcanoes this evening. We've no desire to go anywhere else. We've seen what's out there, and what we haven't seen is easily brought up by a focused imagination. Oh, we've had a time of it this last month. Suffice to say, the results of it will put me redlining past penury for some time to come. Given what has happened, I should never have left Europe, but I did, and I don't see any immediate leg up for getting back there, so I'll just sink or swim here, as the case may be. I've seen worse, and by God, we should be getting close to some kind of positive change for the better. It doesn't seem to matter how hard a fellow tries to do the right thing, good, bad, or indifferent. It just chugs along mindlessly. We know there's a purpose to all things, we know there's a resolution to all things, and we know eventually across all the barriers of time that things will come right. But in the moment, we know little or nothing at all. We're advised to just keep on chootling, as the immortal John Fogerty was wont to say. Yeah, he sometimes used to sing about up around the bend, too. Both of them are irrelevant. You can't look back in this business we're in. You probably shouldn't even look from side to side. It is one of the most difficult things in life to accept that we are tormented and pressed upon because of the depth of the ineffable's love for us. How can that ever make any kind of rational sense? Yet we are assured that it is true. I had this friend, Kenny, who was born into privilege. I met him at the Guru Bhava Fellowship, and although he'd been around the town of Woodstock for a short while before, I simply hadn't met him earlier, so I wound up meeting him in Philadelphia. He was much into what we call the Red Road and the experience of Native American culture. He was into leather working and fashion, and he was also gay, but that hadn't manifested when I first met him. It was a couple of years away yet. We lived in a teepee together in Woodstock for a time and got to know each other well. Both of us were a kind of persona non grata at the Bhava Fellowship for being counterculture as we were and not caring so much what other people thought. For some reason, most of the people at the fellowship were quite straight. At the time, I was coming and going between the East Coast and Hawaii. Kenny moved to New York City and got into the gay scene and into making his designer black leather jackets. He got an apartment in the East Village, and by the time we got together again, he was HIV positive and running the door at some of the hottest clubs in New York City. I used to go and visit him on the weekend, and we would, once he was done with his gig, we would head from club to club and have a real blast. I went back to Hawaii, and Kenny got ill, and then he got really ill, and so I returned to Woodstock and lived on a teepee on his property, trying to be of what help I could. His wealthy parents had bought him a beautiful estate in Woodstock, and he was having real success with his jackets, but he was getting weaker and weaker and couldn't sustain much of anything for long. His passing was brutal. He had Kaposi's sarcoma, and that's a bad way to go from what I could see. I remember him saying, "Where is my season of ease?" And that is why I bring up this tale. Actually, Kenny had a season of ease most of his life until he got sick, and he got sick willfully. Knowing that his boyfriend Lenny had HIV, he intentionally shared needles with him. Sex probably would have done it too, but both of them were doing hard drugs and hitting the clubs every night. Lenny died well before him. Kenny's parents were nice people, and they gave me some number of his effects after he passed, and I left him at his house for a while. Meanwhile, his younger sister was given his house, and she promptly stole back everything his parents had given me. She was, and probably still is, a ruthless materialist. Hey, such is life. I don't guess I missed any of those things. I certainly haven't ever thought much about them. I was just struck by that season of ease thing. I thought that I would have such a period, and maybe my time in Europe would qualify for that, but nothing in the way of success ever came to me, and it was rough to struggle and struggle with nothing to show for it except for the support of the people who came around in my sights, and, well, for me that was enough, but it didn't grant me the fruits of my efforts that others might have expected of me. And along with the controversial nature of the things I said, it put a strain on my relationship, which eventually brought it down. I thought I might have a season of ease coming after all the uncertainty that has been the hallmark of my passage in this life, but that has yet to manifest. And I'm okay with what the ineffable provides. Either our faith is strong enough to carry us, or it is not. Time will tell, and we shall see. I certainly never expected it to get even harder, as it has in recent times. I wish I knew more, but I don't. I get the strangest feeling that a lot of what I am going through has a lot to do with the things I say and the purpose of demonstration that attends the testing of those who say things that have to do with the invisible planes of influence. In other words, visible, if you believe what you say, let's see to just what extent that might be. Well, nothing else makes much sense. In the past, there were times in which I behaved badly, and I harvested the results of my reckless actions, and There have been times like recent times when I have behaved in an exemplary fashion. The same unfortunate results have been coming in. On the other hand, my astrological patterns suggest that things should be going very well for me. Ha, I'll tell you. Or else I can't tell you. It's as mystifying for me as it has ever been. And it makes it difficult to say the things that I do when the things that are happening to me are happening. I have to simply ignore all of this and continue as if everything were hunky-dory, whatever that is. I beg the indulgence of the listener during the confusion of these times as they apply to me, and hope that you, like myself, realize that there is a higher purpose to it all, and that we just don't see it as yet. I can tell you that I have no intention of giving up or ceasing in the production of my work, and regardless of how hard it may get for me, I'm going to be right here or right somewhere every day, and I'm going to keep on keeping on for as long as there is a drop of keeping on left in me. I think of this every day when I have to drink my meal from a blender because I can't chew my food because I had a freak accident that came out of nowhere and which I still don't understand whatsoever. Now the lower bridge of my teeth won't fit and the whole of my lower bridge is frozen and has been for several weeks now because they shot Novocaine into some main nerve and it's just stayed that way. I can only hope that is going to change at some point. If I were in Europe, I have full health coverage and all of this could be quickly fixed, but here I have nothing like that and no resources to do anything about it, so I just go from day to day, anticipating that an answer will come to me, and I'm told that all will be well, and there I am. There I am, or here I am. I want to say that never have I seen more difficult times, but on a personal level that wouldn't be true, given that my circumstances seemed more dire in other times. But the present times in which my life and your own is taking place can seem ominous indeed. All over the world, tensions continue to increase as the apocalypse intensifies. Turkey is on the verge of civil war. The money meisters have screwed the system so bad that it takes all their scrambling in every direction just to keep all those balls in the air. Those balls are going to be coming down and impacting on the lives of everyone who has been dependent on the system. We're looking at haywire gone nova, but none of this is accidental, and the outcome of it is not in their hands. The whole purpose of all this is to turn our attention to the one in whose hands the destiny of everything rests. For those who believe it is in their own hands, they're going to receive a telling lesson. I cannot go into detail about the conditions of our times because those details are not in my possession. I only know that the director is on the set, and my job is to turn your attention to that fact and encourage you to embrace the truth of this. When I wrote about my recent difficulties, I was amazed at the amount of people I heard from who are experiencing similar trials in far-flung locations. I've never had such a large response on the same thing like this before. It seems as if a significant number of people are undergoing some form of trial. Are any of you familiar with that feeling where you know something is coming, but you don't know what it is, and you have to put everything on hold because everything is going to be affected by it? This is where I find myself, and I've been here for a while now. It isn't representing itself as anything bad or even exceedingly good. It is simply speaking of change in a big way, in a fundamental way, and strangely, everything I try to do outside of the simple act of posting to my blogs is meeting with extraordinary difficulties. Truly improbable things happen to make all the projects that I'd hoped to be deeply involved in by now become out of reach. I don't want this broadcast to be negative in any way. It isn't meant to be. I'm in pretty good mood, despite all the things that have been happening, and despite not knowing to what direction anything is supposed to be going in. I keep getting told to wait, to reflect, to think upon myself, to be open and present. It sounds like the simplest of duties, and I'm giving myself over to this without thinking about it too much. I don't know most of you out there in any individual way, and in fact, I know hardly any of you, and possibly none of you, because I have no way of knowing if someone I do know is listening to these broadcasts. I've got some idea of the amount of downloads each week, and they're considerable. It's surprising, given how few comments show up at the radio blog. For the moment, I'm just grateful to do this after several weeks of being unable to. Somehow, we always manage to find our way back, or we have so far. It may become increasingly difficult for me to find something to say that hasn't been said many times already. In the process of repeating myself, I keep getting hammered by the linebackers of the peripheral. There's humor and irony aplenty here to be found. I'm like a cheerleader at the game of life. Imagine the game of life is being played by proxy football teams. I'm on the sidelines doing these cheers, and as soon as I finish any one of them, some goon comes flying off the field in helmet and shoulder pads and levels me. Then I get up and do it all over again. There's something Sisyphean about this whole process, but I don't seem to mind. I get knocked down, I get back up. I get knocked down, I get back up. It's like a cartoon. I'm guessing that one of the reasons I don't mind getting knocked around is what I know about so many other people who are going through much worse. Sometimes I lay in my bed and let my thoughts go circling around the world to places consumed by war or abandoned by water. And the scale of human suffering is so much greater than any mind can imagine. I think about those people in prisons and rendition torture chambers. I think of all the forgotten captives held in soundproof basements. I think about Gaza and the ruined landscapes of Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, and so many other places, and all of it done for reasons of economic profit and insane religious genocide performed by Satanists upon those already living at the desperate margins of existence. I think of these things, and I realize I don't have it so bad, and neither do most of you. It won't go on forever, my friends, and the best of us will find a way to a more serene existence. If not here, then on the other side of this life we're living, as the song says. In any case, I'm glad I could get this out to you today and be able to say yet one more time, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, hang in there, my friends. Sooner or later, the ship of darkness is going to sink into the sea of forgotten teardrops and never be heard from again. That said, hail Lord Jesus Christ. Hare Krishna. Much love, Lady Nature. La il alaha il alahu. Greetings, my good friend Lord Ganesh. Om Amitabha. Carry on, Bahula. Aloha and Aru.
He's strong and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. Coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view, just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call, designed for everyone. He's here, Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.